listening to the U-Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U-Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine a biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crosston, General Editor for the U Bible Study, and today I'm joined by one of our U writers, Brenda Crosston. Hello, Brenda.
Hello, Dr. Mark. Thank you for having me for session 5, Recovering from a Fall into Temptation. What happens when we fall from grace? The good news is we may fall from the grace of man, but we never fall away from God's grace. And so we're going to look at that using Psalm 32, verses 1 through 7.
All right. So the point is, return to God for forgiveness and restoration. And so, how can we be restored after a fall? First, renounce deceit. Renounce deceit. Let's look at Psalm 32, 1, verses 1 and 2. How joyful is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How joyful is the person whom the Lord does not charge with iniquity, and in whose spirit is no deceit. And so, recovering from temptation, the first thing one has to do is renounce deceit. And so that is really important. So you got to be In the midst of the fall and temptation, there's some dishonesty that's going on. And that's why the first step in getting over the temptation, being restored, is the idea that you now have to make a commitment to the truth. Mm-hmm. You must now, you have been in some ways covering up, lying, or, you know, deflecting, or whatever it is, right? So there's always deceitfulness that comes with the temptation. And now one must renounce deceit. You have to now be willing to stand and live in according to the truth, speak the truth, say the truth. And the scripture says, you know, and there's only one truth. Remember that. So in CSI and all these investigative shows, you know, they often ask the same question over and over again. Why do they do that? Why do they ask the same question over and over again? Because they know there's only one truth. And the problem with lying is you got to keep on changing it. You got to shift it over here a little bit. You got to shift it over there. You got to keep turning it and add stuff to it and then take some stuff away from it, right? But there's only one truth. And so they keep asking the question over and over again in order to see if the story remains the same, or does the story keep changing? If the story keeps changing, we know that you have not renounced deceit. But if the story remains the same, we know that you are now focused on the truth. And so the first step, come on, if you want to recover from temptation, and that ought to be our goal, shouldn't it? Our goal is restoration. And so the first step is I've got to now be true. I want to give you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And if you do that, there's joy. How joyful is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. But you can only do that if there's no deceit. What are you seeing here, Brenda?
I see this as an invitation to confession. You know, it's so, I don't know, inviting. How joyful is how both of these sentences start, these scripture passages start. How joyful, how joyful. And then they say, how do you get this joy? This joy that's been stored up for you, it comes by you confessing. And so I thought that that was very interesting, that it's a delightful invitation. And the fact that God has joy stored up for those who are willing to renounce deceit. And there is the implication here of Romans 12:1, right? Don't you see that there? The word, our notes say that the word cover is a derivative of the word kafar. It pictures the imagery of the Day of Atonement, the day on which the high priest of Israel took blood from an animal that had been sacrificed in the courtyard of the temple. We know that was all foreshadowing of Jesus coming to atone for our sins completely. And so it's a reminder that there now is no condemnation for those who love God, but condemnation can come if confession has not proceeded. I mean, there has been no confession. And so I think that it's just amazing that there's joy still stored up for those who are willing to renounce deceit, that for those who are willing to renounce deceit, Jesus Christ has covered all of our fallen moments. And I think that it's amazing that this is an invitation to that joy.
All right. So, yeah. So you can only be in line with the one who is true when you haven't renounced deceit. And I can remember, as a pastor, having to deal with members who might have been in some kind of circumstance. And so in conversations, I would ask those same questions over and over again. And they said, why do you keep asking the same question? And I would answer, because I'm trying to see if you're committed to the truth. And often they're changed, when their answers kept changing, I knew that they weren't committed to the truth. And so if you're not committed to the truth, I don't know what to trust in terms of what you're telling me, right? So second is confess your sin. So you must renounce deceit. And in the second step in restoration is to confess your sin. And so here it is, Psalm 32. Again, let's pick up at verse number 3. When I kept silent, my bones became brittle from my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was drained as the summer's heat. Selah. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Selah. So there it is. He said, man, I tried to get away with this stuff and not try to actually confess it and deal with it. I kept silent. I didn't want to tell it. And what happened, it says, my bones became brittle. I groaned all day long, day and night. I couldn't sleep because your hand was on me and my strength was drained. So you can't get away. So, if you have no sleepless nights and got all of this stuff hanging over you. The only way to get out from under all of that is to come clean. So, and then it says in verse number 5, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my iniquity. Now that's interesting, because our statement here is confess. And confess actually doesn't mean enlighten. Confess means agree. And so the writer of the psalmist, like many of us, is saying, man, I no longer concealed my iniquity. So we think that we can hide our stuff from God. We think that there's some way that God doesn't know about the details of whatever the temptation or fall has been in our lives. But you got to remember, the Bible says that the eye of the Lord is in every place, beholding the good and the bad. David says in another place, if I make my bed in heaven, he's there. If I make my bed in hell, he is there. There is nothing secret, nothing hidden from the Almighty. He knows our thoughts before we think them. He knows our words before we articulate them. And so there's nothing hidden from him. The truth is, I couldn't conceal my iniquity from God if I wanted to. And so what I do need to do is now come in agreement with the Almighty. I've been trying to say that my bad was good. And now I've got to come in agreement with God and confess and say, yes, where I was really a sinful place. And I'm now in agreement with you, God, about the wrong that I tried to say was right. And then, what's that? 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's what the psalmist says here. You forgave the guilt of my sin. Bam. What are you thinking, Brenda?
The section title is Confess Sin, but this can also be a checklist of like you, how you can know that you aren't confessing sin. It says, my bones became brittle. What does that say? That the health in my body was affected. It says, my strength was drained. This can also be a checklist of like when you need to confess some sin. Like if the health in your body is depleting, now that's not always the case. Don't hear me say that. Don't write the life way. Don't text Dr. Mark. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that sometimes this might be the case, that if you're, you know that there's no medical diagnosis and you're feeling drained and you just can't make it. Maybe there is some sin in your life that you need to confess, because sin will destroy. Right? It won't just destroy you emotionally, but as it continues to play on your emotions, that trickles down to your health. It trickles down to your health. I mean, because think about it, you're up against God Almighty. You're fighting against God, confessing to God Almighty, and you can't win, right? So sin will destroy, but God will seek. Look at what it says, for day and night, your hand was heavy on me. That's God seeking us even when we haven't confessed. Why? Because he knows that confession to him is better than you laying and hiding. It's better than you pretending like this thing is not happening. No, go ahead and confess it so you can be free. Yeah, you can be free, strengthened and renewed. The third thing I see is if you surrender, the healing balm of forgiveness belongs to you. It says, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Forgiveness is a balm, a B-A-L-M. It is a soothing salve for our souls. And so, and look at what it says. There's that musical note. We see S-E-L-A-H. It means to rest, to meditate on that. And so God makes sure in his word that he puts special emphasis on this fact that sin will destroy, but God will seek you. And if you confess, your soul will be healed. So I just thought that was just good stuff there.
All right. So the last part of this says, follow God closely. Follow God closely. And so let's read these final verses. Verse number 6. Therefore, let everyone who is faithful pray to you immediately. When great floodwaters come, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with joyful shouts of deliverance. And so this is important. This is important. Follow God closely. You know, we keep saying this in most of these lessons. The seem like the third point is somewhere around that idea of walking in obedience. Follow God closely. Worship God only. We keep hearing this theme over and over again as part of the remedy for this situation. And so this lesson ought to be healing for somebody in the midst of your class, right? Recovering from a fall. So allow God to use this lesson to really minister to the people in your class. Don't make this just a technical exercise in a walk as we walk through the text. There are people who are hurting and people who have been hiding who need this lesson. And that's why three times in the lesson that word Selah is written there. It's so you won't rush through it and miss the point. The word stresses the idea, stop. Take a moment. Let this sink in. Meditate on this. Or even do what you need to do about what you just heard. Selah. Don't just run through the lesson. Allow people to experience restoration. And it might be somebody who is, maybe there's somebody in your class that is holding something over somebody's head. Come on. If God can restore, you can too. And it could be tearing up relationships. These things tear up churches. They tear up everything. And so this is a vital lesson for us. Recover from temptation. There is recovery, right? When you go in for an operation, if you're sick, you can decide if you're going to just stay sick and die, or you can go in for the operation. If you go in for the operation, the first thing they're going to do after the operation is put you in recovery, and you'll stay there a while to heal. And so the church ought to be a place of recovery, not a place of condemnation where you're trying to condemn everybody, but a place of recovery and restoration. Use this lesson to help restore some relationships and some lives and some reputations in your class. Selah. Don't let this pass too quickly. Let it sink in. Brenda, what do you think?
Wow. I think that, yeah, ditto. Follow God closely shouldn't just be the command to the person that is recovering. It should be to us who are those of us who are surrounding that person, that we should be the recovery room attendants, ushering that person back to God in order for them to heal in a safe space. And so some would be nervous about this idea of us being the recovery room attendants, because we think, oh, well, this world is filled with grace, grace, grace. They want to give more grace. Well, let God handle that part, right? So we, in this instance, teach the word of God, teach the truth of God's word, and then we stand ready to be the landing place for those people who actually accept the word, right? We got to be that soft space where there's love, kindness, forgiveness, and grace. And so that last bullet point, may it apply to all of us who have not been caught in a sin and are in a season of recovery. Let us follow God closely by being his grace his hands, his loving feet, his loving eyes, his loving heart.
All right, let me just add one little postscript about the idea of confess. So remember I said confess is to agree. So confession is not letting somebody in on information they don't know about. So it's not the idea that I'm now broadcasting to the class or to the church or to whomever information about my lives that they were not privy to in the first place. Confession is agree, and that says that the whoever I'm confessing to already knows the issue and knows what it is. So it's not that I'm telling somebody or informing somebody of something. The circle of confession ought to always equal the circle of knowledge. And so if it's just been, if my fall has just been me privately, then my confession need only be me privately. It's just between me and God. If my fall has been in me and my immediate family, my confession should only be in with me and my immediate family. You get the idea. Or if it's just in my close circle of friends, just me and my close circle of friends. Now, when your stuff gets on social media and everybody knows, then your confession needs to be as broad as the area, as the knowledge of the sin. You get the idea? So don't be, having somebody go tell the church what you did. No, if they got to tell the church what they did, that's wrong. Because you don't have to inform people. It's only if the church already knows all this stuff. Then what I want to do is I want to clarify who I really am and where I'm really going. The reason I talk to the church with they already know is because I want them to know who I really am. Look, I know you all know what's going on. I want you all to know that I've forsaken all of that. I've asked God for forgiveness. I'm now moving in a positive direction. I want you to forgive me also, and I want your help in this restoration process. Come on. So don't just be blabbing people's information all over the place willy-nilly. Confession, the circle of confession ought to equal the circle of knowledge because it's agree, not inform. All right. Wow. This is going to be a lesson. This is going to be a lesson. Might take you all a little extra time, You might need a little extra time in your Bible study this week. So I want you to hold on. If you're a Bible study teacher, hold on just for a moment because Brenda's going to give us a powerful teaching tip for this lesson. But I want each of you to remember that you need your copy of the new Bible study curriculum, right? You can find it at you.lifeway.com. That's you.lifeway.com. It is our urban cultural forward Bible study. It comes in paper and digital formats. There's a personal study guide for each student. There's a teacher guide in the back of the book. The daily devotional pages throughout to keep you rooted in the Word of God. There's a leader's pack that's available to make your lessons even better. It aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum. So there's something for everybody. Make sure you get yours. All right, Brenda, give us our teaching tip for today.
Mark kind of stole my thunder there in the fact that our teaching tip is for you to do a deeper dive into the word confess. But repetition teachers is your greatest weapon. So I'm going to go ahead and repeat it anyway. Mark went into confession and all the aspects of it. I want you to go ahead and evidence that with some scripture in the instances where it's talking about confession. Go ahead and look up the word confession in your lexicon. Also use the Blue Letter Bible, Logos, any one of those great helps that you have, and go ahead and map out the idea of confession for your class. Because just like Mark said, this is an opportunity for somebody to be delivered from something. And so go ahead and dig into that word confession, explain it to your learners, and let God do a great work in and through you and the study and the class.
All right. This is going to be a powerful lesson. We'll be praying for you as you go through on this week. So join us again, though, for another You Bible Study podcast, because you never know where God will take you.